Thank you for joining us for the Temple Baptist Church podcast. This message was originally recorded on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2006. The message today will be delivered by our pastor, Scott Perry. He's preaching on Christmas, the incarnation of God, found in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18.
Father, we thank you that indeed, because of Jesus, all is well. And Lord, the hope that you have offered us and that you have extended to the world through us is one that is abiding. And Lord, as we celebrate in the season of the year, it reminds us of all that took place in order to make a reality the redemption of the world. Father, as we gather today, we do so to worship you with thanksgiving and with joy. We do so with hearts that overflow from what we've experienced through Christ. But we also are reminded that there are many who do not know Him, many that are distant from Him. And Lord, as we celebrate and as we worship and as we share this time, we pray that all that is done would extend the message of truth into the world of darkness, that others may come to know Jesus and be drawn to His presence, to experience His grace, His redemption, His love for eternity. Father, thank you for this time. I pray that it will be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, a Jewish lady named Rosenberg was stranded one night very late at a fashionable resort in Europe. It happened to be that this particular resort did not admit Jews. She went, nonetheless, to the desk clerk. He looked at her, and then he looked down at his book and said, "Sorry, there's no room. The hotel is full." The Jewish lady said, "But your sign says that you have vacancies." The desk clerk stammered and then said rather curtly, "You know, we do not admit Jews. Please try the other side of town." Mrs. Rosenberg stiffened noticeably and said, "I'll have you know, I converted to your religion." The desk clerk said, "Oh yeah? Well, let me give you a little test. How was Jesus born?" Mrs. Rosenberg replied, "He was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem." "Very good," replied the hotel clerk. "Tell me more." Mrs. Rosenberg replied, "He was born in a manger." "That's right," said the hotel clerk. "And why was he born in a manger?" And Mrs. Rosenberg said as loudly as she could so that all who were in the hotel lobby could hear her, "Because a jerk like you in the hotel wouldn't give a Jewish lady a room for the night." The question remains, and we answer it every year, but it deserves to be answered again. Why was Jesus born in the manger? Why did Jesus have to be born at all? Why did God send His Son? Why did everything that had been done throughout all of the ages as God had interacted with mankind from the very beginning, why did it have to come down to this? That question has to be answered over and over if we are to be reminded of the significance of Christmas. If the season of the year is to have any bearing on who we are and how we live, the way we conduct our lives, and the hope that dwells within us, then we must answer that question over and over again. Why was Jesus born in the manger? For several weeks now, we have considered from the Gospel of John teachings that help us to understand that Jesus is the revelation that Christmas was intended to bring to the world. But we also learn that Jesus is the illumination, that Christmas provides light in a dark world, truth in a time of falsehood. If Jesus and Christmas are revelations and illuminations, then perhaps it is fitting that when we come to this portion of our time, we understand that Christmas, while it is certainly those other things, is the incarnation as well. It is the incarnation of God. It is God's arrival in human form. It is God's presence in a world of loneliness. It is God's power brought to bear in a world controlled and dominated by weakness. Why did Jesus have to be born in the manger? Because Jesus had to come in order for you and I to have hope. Christmas is, while it is so many other things, above all else and with priority over all else, Christmas is the incarnation of God. The incarnation of God, then, in John chapter 1, in verse 14, is where we give our attention today. John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me. And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known.'" John chapter 1 then reveals for us the incarnation, its significance, its power, its purpose, and in so doing helps remind us of what this season is all about. But I think it is still important that we ask the question why Jesus had to be born in the manger, and we answer it with clarity. When we ask that question, one answer that we can clearly give comes from verse 14, "The Word became flesh." It was the intention of God to personify everything that we needed to know, everything that we were to experience, and all that we were to see and understand through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the personification of God. Now, that word doesn't clearly carry the same meaning of what really happened. When we think of a personification, we think of a representation. We think of something that is not the real thing, but clearly represents the real thing. That is certainly not the case when we consider Jesus Christ and His birth in the manger. Jesus Christ came to the earth in order to not only help us to know God, to understand God, to experience God, and to see God, but He came to this earth as God. Jesus Christ is God. If you read the Gospel of John, you will discover that one of the preeminent themes that runs throughout is the deity of Christ. John wants his readers to understand that God is really in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is fully man and all human, but He is also completely and fully God. If we remove the deity from Christ, then we lose the glory, we lose the power, we lose the supremacy. If we remove the humanity, then we lose the sacrifice and we lose the significance of His shed blood. Without both, we have lost everything. And so why did Jesus have to be born in the manger? It was to personify God, to help us, God in flesh, to see Him, to know Him, to experience Him. The early church made this a test of faith. The early church believed that what you believe about Jesus tells us what you really believe. In fact, we see that later on in the book of 1 John. As he wrote to the church, he said in chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world." The determining factor for faith and belief is found in what you believe about Jesus Christ. Every spirit, it says, that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And those that do not confess Jesus Christ are not from God. It is clear then that Jesus Christ is the determining factor to help us understand truth. It is clear that Jesus Christ, come in the flesh, is the determining factor for helping us to understand God's intentions and purpose for our lives. And so Jesus Christ, born in the manger, come to earth in flesh, is to personify for us, to make it personal for us. You can know God, not because you believe in some distant deity. You can know God, not because you have been brought up in a Christian environment. You can know God, not because the forms of religion have been taught down through the ages and you have learned them along the way. You can know God because Jesus Christ was born in the manger. He came in the flesh in order to die and to give Himself a sacrifice for you. Jesus Christ came. He was born in the manger to personalize our experience with God. But secondly, not only did Jesus personify God through the incarnation, He also helps us to identify with God through the incarnation. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Pastor Clifford S. Stewart of Louisville, Kentucky, sent his parents a microwave oven one Christmas. Here's how he recalls the experience. They were excited that now they too could be a part of the instant generation. Dad unpacked the microwave and plugged it in literally within seconds. The microwave transformed two smiles into two frowns. Even after reading the directions, they were unable to make it work. 2 days later, my mother was playing bridge with a friend and confessed her inability to get that microwave oven to even boil water. To get the darn thing to work, she exclaimed, "I really don't need better directions. What I really needed was my son to come along with the gift." If you get an iPod, a DVD player, a recorder of some description this year, and you're above the age of 60, pray that your grandchildren come along with it. If you don't have any, let us know. We can loan you some. Perhaps even for an extended period of time, according to some. When God gave the gift of salvation, He didn't send a booklet of complicated instructions for us to figure out. He sent His Son. He sent Jesus. The word dwelt among us. The word dwelt comes from an Old Testament word that's the same word that was used when the people of Israel traveled across the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. God instructed Moses to erect a tent of meeting in the midst of the people, to separate an area of that tent that later became known as the Holy of Holies. And there the Shekinah glory of God would rest upon that place and dwell within it, so that the people who were encamped all around the tent of meeting knew that in the very middle of the people, there was God. They knew that they could come to that place and there they would find the living, reigning, supreme God over all other gods. And so it came to be known as the tabernacle. And there God tabernacled. He tented. He dwelt among His people. This verse harkens back to that understanding, one that the people of that day would have understood perfectly well. And it is a word that helps us to understand the significance of why Jesus was born in the manger. He came in order to dwell in our midst, to show us, to minister to us, to reveal Himself for us, to set before us an example, and then also to follow that to the very nth degree by giving Himself in sacrifice on the cross. Jesus dwelt among us, and when we looked upon Him, and as we look back at Him, we do so. Understanding that He dwelt among us, that He lived in our midst. It is important that we understand that God desires a relationship with us. Christmas is about that relationship. Jesus coming to earth, being born in the manger, having flesh, living among us, was in order to create an identity, one that you and I could see and understand, one that you and I could relate to and establish a meaningful connection with. It is important that God be more than a distant deity. It is important that He be a personal Savior. If Jesus Christ is not a part of your daily experience, if He's not a part of your relationships, your family, if He's not a part of your friendships and your recreation, if He's not a part of your work and your career and all of the other things that you do, if Jesus doesn't rise with you in the morning and lay down with you at night, then He is not really the Savior that is spoken of in this passage. For He came to dwell in our midst, and He came to be present with us in all things. He sets before us a clear example. He teaches us how we are to live and how we are to grow and how we are to relate. He reminds us of all that we need to know, and He reveals for us what we need to understand about God. The Bible teaches us clearly that to know Jesus is to know God. To receive Jesus is to receive God. To reveal Jesus and to live according to the principles we have learned from Him is to live according and in obedience to the living God. Jesus came to personify God through the incarnation. He came to identify us with God and to help us to identify with God through the incarnation. And He came also to glorify God. So that in verse 14, the latter part, it says, "And we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The word glory is the one word in the Bible that I find the most difficult to describe with words. It is a word that I have never been able to come up with an adequate explanation for that will communicate to you or even allow me to feel as if I'm communicating to someone else what it really means. I'm not sure that glory can ever be fully communicated. In fact, what I have come to believe is that in order to understand glory, in order to experience glory, you have to be in the presence of God's glory. It's not really something that was ever intended to be told about. It was always something that was intended to be shown. Something that is intended to be communicated through an experiential type of revelation. So that when the Bible speaks of knowing, it always talks not about what you know with your head, but what you know in your heart and your life by experience. So to know God is to experience God. To understand the glory of God is to experience the glory of God. The word Shekinah, I mentioned before, the Shekinah glory of God, is one that again goes back to the Old Testament. God's glory was revealed to the people of Israel as they traveled across the wilderness to the promised land. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. The Bible says that when Moses went up on the mountain to meet God, that the Shekinah glory of God descended upon the mountain as a cloud and engulfed it. Moses had seen the Shekinah glory of God in the burning bush experience when God called out His name and beckoned him to come and remove his shoes, for he was on holy ground. The Shekinah glory of God filled the temple later when Solomon dedicated it. It says, as smoke. And as the temple was filled, the people fell in worship before Him, aware of the glory of God. The glory of God shined forth on the night of Jesus' birth as the angels announced to the shepherds that the Messiah had arrived in their midst. The glory of God was evident in the faces of the same shepherds, not because of what they had seen in the majesty of heaven when it appeared to them on the hillsides of Judea, but the glory was evident in their faces when they returned from the manger, having seen the fulfillment of what had been promised. You see, in each case, it was the experience with God that produced the understanding of glory. And the communication of that glory came not through words, but it came through those who had been changed. John said it the same way. We have seen His glory. The glory as of the only begotten Son. He didn't have any words either. He wasn't able to communicate it with language in a way that you and I would be able to understand. All He could say was, "Look at me and the way my life has been altered. For we have seen His glory. We have experienced His glory." The glory of God is the manifestation and the realization of the presence of God. Every time the glory of God is revealed, it served as a reminder to the people who were present, God is here. This is a unique situation. This is an unusual set of circumstances. This is the heavenly breaking through the earthly. This is the spiritual invading the material. This is God stepping forth into a world that has been controlled by evil. This is good in the midst of bad. This is light overcoming dark. The glory of God. We have seen His glory. The glory as of the only begotten. Why did Jesus have to be born in the manger? It was to glorify God. To bring an experience to all of us that we could see, that we could feel, that we could experience in a way that would alter us. Christmas for so many people becomes a series of pressure-packed commitments. Have you noticed that? We decided this year that we would do one of those picture Christmas cards. And so over Thanksgiving, when Justin was home for that holiday, we gathered everybody on Sunday after church, and I took a picture. Turned out pretty well, and so it was a simple process. You know, you take your picture and you go down and you have your card selected and you have it printed. So we did that. I took it down on a disc, digital picture, easy, make the picture. Be back in 3 days, Mr. Perry. So 3 days later, I return. Well, it wasn't there. There's been a delay. Sorry, I'm a patient man. Everybody knows that, right? Called 2 days later, so 5 days total. Pictures are back. I go down and pick them up. The clerk says, "You might want to check those and be sure they're okay." And so I checked them, and she said, "How does the picture look?" I said, "The picture looks great. Everything looks really good." I said, "There is one problem." She said, "What's that?" I held it up. I said, "This ain't me. And you see these little bitty blonde-headed kids? They're not mine. And you see this blonde-headed woman? She's not mine either. And I don't know who this guy is." But I said, "It's a really good picture." "Oh, we're very sorry. We'll take care of that right away." Okay? You understand now that Christmas is coming quickly and you need to expedite this little matter as soon as you can because, you know, we're kind of people that like to do everything well in advance. Send out our Christmas cards early and all that stuff. But we'll get them back to you in a day and a half. Okay? 2 days later, they're still not back. 3 more days, they do come back. 5 days the first time, 5 days the second time. This time, the picture's the correct one, the card's the correct one, but the imprinting with the names is nowhere to be found. So the third time, we finally get it right. Now it's a few days, I mean, it's this past week's when we got it right. And so anyone who receives a Christmas card from us, I'm just hoping that, you know, we haven't all aged so much by the time we send these Christmas cards out, the pictures are relevant. I found myself, along with many other people, standing in line at places like that, being impatient. And I thought to myself, after the third round, you know, this is silly. this is not Christmas. We need those little wake-up calls every once in a while to remind us that this is not what it is really all about, and this is not what God has brought us to. What it's really about is experiencing Jesus. And if we've really experienced Jesus, people shouldn't have to guess. I told a story Wednesday night in prayer meeting about a lady who was tailgating this fellow, and the fellow came to a stoplight that was turning yellow, and so he did the right thing and he came to a stop at the crosswalk, and the lady's banging on the steering wheel and honking the horn and shouting obscenities at him because she missed her opportunity to blast through this light as it was changing. As she's going on and on about all this stuff and literally having a meltdown in the car, she hears a tapping on the window and turns to see a rather large policeman. The policeman says, "Please step out of the car with your hands in the air." And so she does, a little surprised by this response. He spins her around and puts her up against the car with her position assumed, I guess, and then handcuffs her and puts her in the squad car and takes her off where she's fingerprinted and she's put in a holding cell. Later, the same officer comes to the cell and opens the door and says, "You're free to go. Sorry for the confusion." She said, "Sorry." She said, "What was this all about?" He said, "Well, I was behind you in traffic, and I saw the man stop as he should have at the stoplight, and then I saw you banging on the steering wheel. I could hear your obscenities through the window, and I could see the horn honking and the carrying on." He said, "I looked up and I saw the follow me to First Baptist Church bumper sticker, and I saw the Jesus fish emblem on the back of the car, and I saw the pro-life sticker," and he said, "I just assumed you'd stolen it." Now, I better not see any of you out there peeling off bumper stickers and removing your Jesus fish before you leave the parking lot. That's not what Christmas is about, is it? It's about experiencing Jesus, the glory. Jesus had to be born in the manger to glorify God. It says that he came full of grace and truth. Grace, unmerited favor, getting what you do not deserve, receiving what you cannot earn. Jesus was born in the manger as an act of God's grace. Truth means faithfulness, steadfastness, consistency. Jesus represents the grace of God and the faithfulness of God. When you experience Jesus in a way that brings glory to the one and only, when you experience the glory of God, you experience the grace that cleanses us of unrighteousness, that redeems us from our sin, that welcomes us into God's family, and reminds us that what we have experienced in Him will never go away. No matter where you go in this world, no matter how life treats you, no matter what you experience on the path or the journey along the way, God remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus came once, He will come back. And when He does, it won't be in a manger this time. It will be as the ruling King and Judge of eternity. Dear friends, Christmas. Christmas is the incarnation of God. It is the celebration of what God did when He sent His own Son. When Jesus came, God in the flesh, He dwelt among us that we might see His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Many, many years ago, there is a story told about a king in the land of Persia. The land was ruled by a wise and beloved Shah who cared greatly for his people and desired only what was best for them. One day he disguised himself as a poor man and went to visit the public baths. The water for the baths was heated by a furnace in the cellar, so the Shah made his way to the dark place to sit with the man who tended the fire. The two men shared the coarse food, and the Shah befriended him in his loneliness. Day after day, the ruler went to visit the man. The worker became attached to this stranger because he came to where he was. One day the Shah revealed his true identity, expecting the man to ask him for a gift. Instead, the man looked long into his leader's face and with love and wonder in his voice said, "You left your palace and your glory to sit with me in this dark place, to eat my coarse food, and to care about what happens to me. On others you may bestow rich gifts, but to me you have given yourself." Dear friends, Christmas is the incarnation of God, and the incarnation of God is God traveling far and long at great expense to come to where you are and to sit with you in this dark place that we call life. And there, not to bestow rich and lavish material gifts, but to give the best gift of all, the gift of Himself. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Have you experienced His glory? That's what the incarnation is all about, so that you and I may know God.
I want to thank you once again for joining us for our podcast today, and I want to invite you to hear future podcasts and maybe even some past podcasts. You can go to our website at www.tbcsullivan.com. And there you will find our messages. And each week on Sunday, we post a new message. So you can come back each week, usually around 12 o'clock. You'll be able to download the message off of the website. Also, if you'd like to contact us, you can email us at tbc@tbcsullivan.com.